Hello and welcome back to Comic Book Junkies. That's right, we're back. No story this week. This week we're kind of gonna, you know, we're gonna ditch our usual format. We're gonna kind of just jive and talk about, you know, our 2020, what we liked, what we disliked, some of our pickups this year, you know, keys, investing, stuff like that, some of the gifts we got, some stories we liked, some stories we disliked, talk about everything that we saw and did in relation to comic books this year. So Joe, a lot has happened this year, good and bad, for, you know, just the year in general. A lot of good books, a lot of bad books, a lot of good things we've read that we needed to read, some things that we probably could have skipped. How did you feel about this year?
I'm glad that we started this podcast this year. It gave us both, I feel, the opportunity to read some of these classic books that we've never officially read, just we kind of knew the backstory of. It gives us a different perspective because we've been collecting for such a long time. So I'm very grateful for that, even though there were some books that I could have went without. Majority of them were good. Not only do I feel like it was a good collecting year for me, I slowed down a little bit towards the end of the year, but I'm very happy about all the digital reads that we reviewed. I learned a lot from them, and it's been cool to, you know, relay and share with everybody else.
I agree with you completely. You know, starting this podcast is something we thought about for an extended period of time. You know, what's our format going to be? What do we even want to talk about? As you may know by now, we're dudes with a lot of different interests. But, you know, starting this has been really educational for us, and hopefully it has been for you. I know that some of the topics we get into may be a little bit heavy for people that are a little wet behind the ears with comic books. But I'm sure that if you just stay tuned, things will start to make more sense, or hopefully they'll spur you to, you know, start reading for yourself. We have read a lot of good things. We've read most of it's been good, as you mentioned, but some of it's been a little bit eh. So I say, why don't we just kind of start off there? I mean, no real format to talk, you know, chopping it up today, but you know what? Let's scroll down. Like, what are some of the favorite things that we read this year? I can kind of start for us. I've got like three in mind that were like my absolute favorites. And like I said, there was a lot of good stuff. So, you know, number three is kind of interchangeable with a few things. But our most recent episode, Preacher, by far my number one thing that I've read this year. It's been something that definitely appeals to my sense of humor. It's something that my uncle's been, you know, yelling at me about. He's like, look, you're a comic fan, you should be reading this. And it is right up our alley. I should have listened to him sooner, but I'm glad I did it, reading it together and reading it for you guys. So that was easy, my number one. Number two was actually pretty close as well. Also something that my uncle got in my ear about, Kraven's Last Hunt. Easily one of the better Spider-Man stories I've read. And I'm a big Spidey fan. Granted, there's so much Spidey history I need to read, but I feel like it's pretty safe to say that this is one of his better stories. Also, Kraven was just straight up hilarious. And then number three, where, like I said, there may be a little bit of, you know, there could be some interchangeable stories here. Maybe it'll surprise you. I'm going to go ahead and say Judas Contract. I think maybe it wasn't my favorite episode per se, but it was one of my favorite reads. Being a Teen Titans fan, I'm not a super fan, not the way that I'd like to be, because, you know, the property has been abandoned since like the 80s. And it was just good to read one of the classic stories that really put them on the map. I'm a big Wolfman and Perez guy, big Deathstroke guy. So, I mean, if you're putting the two together, I mean, it makes too much sense for me to not like it. What would you say that your favorites were?
Your list is pretty similar to mine, and I'm not surprised either. My number one is actually one of the only differentiation, and that's Watchmen. So unfortunately, it's something I read a long time ago. First episode, I was just kind of like refreshing the read. And although we read a lot of really good stuff, I still think that's either my favorite or my second favorite read in comic books of all time. Even though we've developed a lot since we started podcasting, I really, really enjoyed Watchmen as a whole. And I think I've mentioned before, although I'm not a big Alan Moore guy, I really enjoy his writing. He does a very good job and a very nuanced writer, and the art was perfect. And if you were new into comics, I couldn't recommend a better story for you to jump in on. But my number two is going to be Kraven's Last Hunt. So something I haven't read before doing the podcasts, although the only thing I didn't like about this story is that I knew the ending before I read it. So I lost that shock value of the actual text. Even reading back on it, though, it was very well written. I'm very impressed with the quality of not only the writing, but the overall plot and the overall story. And being such a big Spider-Man fan and owning the first appearance of Kraven, I was, stunned. It's actually a book that I bought in person, the trade, after the fact because we've been using electronic copies to go off of. So I enjoyed reviewing that comic book and reading it so much that I bought the trade myself. My number three is going to be Preacher. That's something that Berger's been dying for me to read. And hell yeah. I was thinking about all the different books that we reviewed, and some might technically be better, but I'm going off of just straight like enjoying it. I don't think I've been that hooked to a comic book all year long. When I was reading each issue, it was very suspenseful. Every issue, I was like glued to the book, didn't want to stop reading it. And although it's not for everybody, it's definitely up my alley. And I thought it was the most interesting read that we've done since we started this podcast. How about your least three favorite, Berger?
Oh, well, that's it's actually kind of easy. So before I get into it, I don't want everyone to start thinking like, oh, you're not a comic book junkie and trying, you know, revoke my card or something. You don't got a taste for the arts. Blah, 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 blah. Well, here we are, bro. I mean, something has to be my least favorite. And you know what? Honestly, it's about drier than a biscuit in the sun. You know, Crisis on Infinite Earths. That's probably my number one. Like, I think it's textbook material. Like, hey, you should read this. It gives you a good understanding of, you know, DC and the overarching universe and yippity-doo, dibbity-blah. But honestly, kind of boring, really long read, really wordy, not much happens. It's a lot of recruiting of a bunch of people across space and time, which is good. It's classic, but you know, I don't know that it has the same draw or impact this far past it. Maybe that's just me. I know some old heads would love to differ, but that's just where I'm sitting. Number two, Flashpoint. Other than the Canterbury Cricket and how big of a dick the Reverse Flash is, the whole story is stupid as all hell. It really fucked up a lot of things in regards to what I like about comics, pretty much putting the kibosh on the whole DC universe in favor of the New 52. So maybe I just look at it with spiteful eyes because of that, and I wish God would have smited Dan Didio and whoever greenlit that. But you know what? He's fired now. Hopefully they can't hurt us, even though DC Infinite Frontier looks like it's more of the same BS. But anywho, yeah, that story is just kind of boring too. I mean, if you want an Elseworlds take, or I mean, to explain it to a newer reader, if this is like their way to hook you by basically fundamentally changing all of the core characters that everybody knows and loves, I don't know how that would really make it more accessible, I guess, but it was kind of meh, so screw that. And then number three, this is kind of, you know, in relation to how I said, like, for my favorite stories we reviewed, it's kind of interchangeable-ish with another story, but it's just kind of a testament to the stories we did read that nothing was really that bad to where it's like, ah, yes, this is obviously my least favorite, like third least favorite thing, when it's really just those two. But I guess coming in third as like a runner up would kind of actually be Infinity Gauntlet, just because I felt like the rest of the stories that I read were a bit more gripping. I do like Thanos being a big, you know, simp and, you know, pretty much handing a can of whoop ass to everybody, which is cool, but it's basically just like Crisis, but slightly better. And Crisis was very average to me. So I think it like improved upon Crisis per se, but like it gave me the same type of vibe. And it's not something like I'm gonna go run around and be like, yo, everybody, this is the best shit ever, look at Thanos beats everyone and then he loses. But like, I don't know, I mean, it's not like it's a bad story by any means. It sounds like I'm shit talking it, but I mean, compared to some of the other reads we had, some were much more fun, some were much more relevant to like the characters today, I suppose, to see how the characters have grown and all that. But you know, that's all I've got to say about mine. What are your least favorite three?
Real quick, what would you said your number three spot's pretty interchangeable. If you had an honorable mention for like worst comic book that we've read so far, and we reviewed 13 of them, what would you interchange that one with?
I guess if you had to put it at like number four or, you know, slash three, my other runner up would have been Cosmic Odyssey, just because that Crisis and Infinity Gauntlet all kind of give me the same vibe. And it's not a vibe that, you know, instills like a bunch of confidence or excitement. It's just kind of like, you should read it. It is a good story, but it's not like, it's not gripping you. It's not like you want to go back and finish it right away or flip through all the pages. You know what I mean? It's like on a issue per issue scale, I guess, it's not as entertaining. As a whole, it's fine, but like when you break it down by issue, it gets kind of meh.
See, I really like the art for that one. I actually put it just slightly above Crisis and Infinity Gauntlet because it's one of those event books, but I thought it was kind of the better event book. Just maybe it's just because of all the hype that was put behind Crisis and Infinity Gauntlet, but Cosmic Odyssey was kind of mid-tier read for me.
That's what I mean. Like, that's why it came in like fourth for me. It's not like it wasn't even bad by like any means. It's just compared to some of the other things I had much more fun reading. I would put it kind of like at fourth, but by being like my fourth least favorite doesn't mean that it's bad at all.
Word. My least favorite was also Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Duh.
It was really dry, man. I was expecting so much more from that comic book because of how historically important it is or how important it is to the DC continuity. But honestly, it's just dry as a poonchki, man. I can't get behind it. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody unless they had like actual questions about why DC is able to renew titles or why nobody ever actually dies. Like, it explains that stuff. But in my opinion, even though they had a great creative team, there was just too much going on. I feel like Flashpoint had a different problem. So that's my number two least favorite thing that we read. Now, I own the animated movie because it's kind of fun to watch and it explains a lot of like the modern comics, but it wasn't dry necessarily, but it just kind of ruins the future of DC Comics. It doesn't put the main characters or the characters that we like enjoy in a good position to like have better runs moving forward. So it messed with the DC timeline a little too much. And I kind of think they should pull back a little bit and make things a little more simple again, because it's kind of like overly nuanced and there's no real resolution to it. So although it's a good story, I didn't like what it did for DC Comics as a whole. And then my number three spot, it was pretty hard to pick, but I actually chose Wonder Woman Volume 1. Now, granted, that was the best Wonder Woman story I've ever read. It might be the best Wonder Woman story, period, but it's impossible to write that character. And I understand what they're trying to do in comic books now by like replacing her with a different character, because they made her story so complex that it's hard for even the best writers and artists to come up with a good comic book for Wonder Woman. It's never going to be simple. It's hard to write a good Wonder Woman story. And although that's the best one I've ever read, I don't think it's doable. There's just too much going on in that continuity. I will give one honorable mention for my favorite and least favorite, though. It was hard picking a top three for my favorites, but my honorable mentions would be Judas Contract and Death of Superman. I put Judas Contract right above Death of Superman, but I didn't realize how much fun I would have reading Death of Superman. It's never been really regarded as like a good read, and I've always kind of dismissed it, and because it had such a high print run when it came out, and it was such an event comic that I just kind of wanted to avoid it. But it was actually really fun not only to read, but to record. So I liked that. I think Judas Contract was technically better. So those are pretty interchangeable as my honorable mentions. And then as far as like my least favorite goes, I did put Wonder Woman at my number three spot for least favorite, but Infinity Gauntlet was right there just because it was so identical to Crisis. It was just, they kind of learned the mistakes that Crisis had and then made it Marvel's version of that story. And so it was kind of too identical to Crisis. And for that, although it was a little better, you still can't polish a turd.
Oh shit, bro. No, that's damn straight. And you know what? Yeah, you know, I wasn't thinking Wonder Woman, I guess just because of the recency bias of just recording it. I was like, oh, wasn't that bad. But yeah, no, like that's generally my whole feeling about the character in general, though, is like, what the hell do you do with her? I don't think I've ever read anything that was like good. It's usually boring as all fuck. And like, she's gonna fight a Minotaur and then who cares, Steve Trevor. Ooh. But you know, like, it was a good story. But kind of like you said, but still like the best Wonder Woman story. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to be the guy to do the research on that. But that's everything we've read, kind of our homework for the pod this year. What about what's in your poll box? There hasn't been a ton of new things in 2020 that I've really been reading. I can think of the one standout, you know, my pick of the year of what I would say anybody who's a fan should read from 2020 specifically. But let's also not forget that there's also been some really good stories that have continued through 2020. So I'm going to go through and just kind of talk about the few things, because honestly, my poll shriveled up like a Peter, bro. There ain't nothing going on in comics this year or looking like next year or even in years past. You know, they're just throwing all the shit at the wall that they can. And it, you know what it is? It's still shit. So you know what? I don't care about really any of the new comics coming out, which is sad to say, because I used to have a huge pull list, used to be an eager beaver, get down to the comic store every Wednesday, pick that shit up, read it. Half of it would be mediocre, but I was still excited. Now they've crushed my will. I'm very selective. There's like 2-3 things I can read, and then the rest I'm like, don't even wave it at me, I don't like it. So 2020, best thing to come out of 2020, Three Jokers, tit for tat, issue for issue, pound for pound, issues 1-3. You know, Jeff Johns, great writer, you know that we approve him. Jason Fabik, borderline slept on artist. I mean, he kind of does like a Jim Lee DC house style kind of art, but he kills it. Big fan of his. So having that, those two on a team together, just killer, dude. It was a beautiful book. The story they told, they were kind of free of continuity constraints, and I felt like Jeff Johns had, you know, he told a really good story. Some people may disagree, but I was not bored for a second on any page of any issue. I would say that's my favorite book that came out in 2020. What is yours?
Batman Three Jokers. I was right there with you. And what I was impressed by is that it only took 3 issues for him to tell a very cohesive story. Touches back on all the Jason Todd drama that they kind of like reference in the movies, but they don't really want to fully talk about. You get to see Batgirl and her trauma with the Joker, and then Batman trying to fix everything because he realizes he has a bunch of kids working under him and they're kind of messed up for life. So Batman Three Jokers was really impressive for anybody getting into comic books and don't want to dive too far in the past. Batman Three Jokers was a very good story. It helps to know a little bit of the background of the characters, but even if you don't really know anything about Batman, which I'd find hard to believe, it's a very, very good story, and it's entertaining through all 3 issues, and especially the last few pages. It has a great summary, a great conclusion, and makes me want to read anything Jeff Johns. So that being said, stuff that hasn't come out in 2020 but is ongoing, what have you been reading for your poll?
You and I both know what the answer is of what the best thing is, but I'll tell you what's been on my poll through the year, because honestly, it's a pretty short list now, guys. I just kind of preface. So obviously, Three Jokers ruled. I'm currently reading Death Metal, which started off with a decent issue 1. Told myself I wasn't going to do it again. Then my dumbass subscribed to it. I wish I hadn't, because it sucks. So yeah, Scott Snyder needs to chill the fuck out. X-Men doesn't tell a cohesive story whatsoever. After Hawks and Pox pulled us in and it ruled, they just totally abandoned that. And maybe, I don't know, Hickman's going to come to it in like 27 years or something. I don't know at this pace. But, you know, every issue is like a single issue, which generally I would like, but it only tells a fragment of a story instead of like one little standalone story. So I'd say the character work on that's really good. It's a good book. I'm still reading X-Men, even though I barely know what the hell's going on. And then, you know, I read a Shazam solo series, which was okay, I guess. That's where Jeff Johns kind of did fail me, because I really hate blonde Captain Marvel Jr. Freddie should not be a long-haired blonde guy. The extended Marvel family's okay, even though they're not the Marvel family now. Billy's a little bit too much of a dipshit for my tastes, and he changed all the villains, like the Crocodile Men, and, you know, Mr. Adam doesn't have a mouth now, and a bunch of dumb little gripes, but overall it kind of annoyed me, and then it whimpered out and sucked ass, so, you know, fuck that. And bada bing, bada boom, the only good thing that I'm still really reading, I mean, X-Men's still good, but the best thing that I've been reading since it came out, and I maintain this, it's probably one of the best things I've read, period, The Immortal Hulk. It kicks the most ass. I don't even really know how to sell you on it, because literally you just need it in front of you. Great writing. Al Ewing knows exactly what he's doing, and he does it with such craft. He's just good. And then I think Joe Bennett's still on art. I know they've had some fill-in artists. There was only one issue ever that was kind of questionable, and even that issue was good, and that was way early on. The art's great. Body horror, kind of psychological horror. The Hulk's never been cooler, in my opinion. I don't need him to be a giant dumbass that just punches stuff. He's so much more than that, as evidenced by like this story. And honestly, I'm gonna be sad as all hell when it finally ends, but that's kind of what I've been reading this year. Most of it's done with, and most of it I'm not going to be moving forward with anymore, other than Hulk and X-Men. What's been in your poll, box.
A lot of the same stuff. I'll start with one of the comics that I don't think you were collecting or you started collecting but didn't really finish is Hawkman. It's not as good as Immortal Hulk and Batman Three Jokers by any means, but it was a great run on the character. I'm a sucker for Hawkman. I think he's a very cool character. Love his background. I can't wait till we see him on the big screen. And if you like that character like I do, there's not too many runs or any runs probably that were better than that one for that character. So it wasn't the best story I've ever read, but as far as character development goes and you're interested in that character, Hawkman was great.
Agreed. I don't mean to jump in on your, you know, your poll, but like that is something that I was reading as well. And I agree exactly. It was like a great character study. It kind of cleaned up his messy ass history. You know, it had a lot of cool moments. It kind of made him like Indiana Jones with a mace, which was pretty sweet.
Isn't that the truth?
Exactly. And it ruled and it had a lot of momentum. I even like Robert Venditti, who was writing it. And I was like, what? Why? I didn't know he had it in him, I guess. And then all of a sudden, editorial kind of put the kibosh on that in my eyes. You persevered, you stuck through, and you were rewarded for it. I saw when they were going through the Batman Who Laughs taints Hawkman, I said, oh fuck no, dude, I ain't tolerating that. I got the hell out, dude. I packed up my bags and said, I see you later. I mean, it looked like it was still good. I heard good things, but it's just like, when you finally do justice for a character, why are you gonna put the Batman Who Laughs into it and just ruin it?
I was discouraged when they were trying to merge that crap into the Hawkman story, but I don't think that was his fault. You know what I mean? I think no. The writer and the artist had a pretty clear vision of the story that they wanted to tell. Is just giving a refresher for the audience as far as his origin story goes and kind of setting him up to be a good character moving forward. And although there was that merger, I did stick through those few issues that were kind of crappy. And then there was a pretty good conclusion for the character too. You don't need the single issues. If you found it in trade, cool. If you don't, cool. But I did like that as far as like my 2020 reads go. X-Men, you hit it right on the head. Great character development. But it's also one of those things that has too many comic books that relate to the main title. So they have too many like side plots going on. And if you're not collecting all of it, there are some like missing pieces that you kind of have to fill on your own. And it's not confusing. It's not like a hard read or anything, but I don't think it makes the story as cohesive as it could be. But Immortal Hulk, like you said, is a perfect run. It's my favorite ongoing since I've been collecting comics. Definitely top three. Also will be said when it ends here at issue 50. And the weird issue you're talking about is issue 3, so you could skip right on over that one. Ewing just has the perfect vision for the character. I've always been a Hulk fan, but I've had nothing to like really represent for the character. Like when people ask me why I like the Hulk, I just say it's kind of like that. I like the duality of like the Jekyll and Hyde aspect of him and growing up watching his animated series, even though it wasn't that great either. But this really did the character justice and made him a very nuanced character. And I'm going to be sad when I have to take it off my poll when it ends. Not only was it one of the best runs on that character, if not the best run on that character, it's one of the better comic books I've ever read, period. Like right up there with like Watchmen and Kraven's Last Hunt. And although it's not like a short comic like those are, has a clear beginning and end, they touch on every single one of his villains and they make them interesting as well. Because when you think of like rogues galleries and villains, you think like Batman has some cool villains, you think Spider-Man has some cool villains, but they kind of made the whole Hulk universe interesting again, and that's pretty hard to do. So it does take a talented team to do that. But that's all I really got on my poll. I did collect Death Metal, as did Berger, and that would be like my number one thing I regret collecting. Now, it does a lot for the continuity, just like in Crisis on Infinite Earths and Infinity Gauntlet. But does it really? Yeah, exactly.
But does it, though?
They're just getting so far ahead of themselves that they don't even know what they're talking about anymore. And it's just like the issues come out so far away from each other that you forget what's going on. You get issue 4 and then issue 5 comes out 2 months later and has nothing to do with that last issue. And you're like, what are we doing here? So I haven't been very impressed with that. I used to really, really, really like Scott Snyder as a writer, especially when he jumped on to the Batman title. It was like one of the only redeeming things to come out of the New 52. And since he hasn't been working with Greg Capullo regularly, it just seems like he's off, or he's just trying to do too much, or it's just not a good look. Although I don't regret buying it, I wouldn't recommend it.
I regret buying it, dude. I want to already like throw them like frisbees at the neighbor kids or something, because like they're fucking worthless and I'm never gonna read it again, and I don't even want to read it now. And all it is just kind of like a big old fan service. Like Scott Snyder's getting too big for his britches. He's just like, oh, let's see how we can world build so we can destroy it, so we can also fan service and wank off like what's left of our readership. And it's just like, hey bro, no one cares that like there's an army of reigning Lobos and like Wonder Woman has the tips of her hair dye blue even though everyone's dead apparently. Superman's half dark side, but he doesn't care and he has a mullet, and it's like, okay bro, like what does any of this have to do with fucking anything? And this was all after that giant Justice League run, which was the biggest waste of time, dude. I'd rather inhale a bucket of farts than read that shit again. I'm tired of all of this like mamby-pamby bullshit that goes nowhere, so they could blow it all up in a few months, retcon everything, change some costumes and act like they like polished the turd again. And then guess what, my pull list shrinks. I'm not even gonna go there, bro, but the moral of the story is they really need to stop like dipping like their hands in the like cookie jar too much, bro. There ain't gonna be any cookies left. You keep fucking around, it's just like, why keep doing it?
It hurts, man, because I lean so DC heavy and now there's like nothing to read, and part of it's because of this event and the way that the whole franchise is going. It's really sad to see. Next year I might be collecting more key issues than actually having things on my pull, but hopefully somebody changes my mind. Obviously we'll be the first ones to tell you, but I guess that would conclude my pull list. And I thought maybe the last cool thing we can touch on in 2020 is like the key issues that we bought. I'll put it in order, build a little suspense. So I enjoyed Immortal Hulk so much that I bought the first appearance of his biggest villain, the Leader. It's actually a pretty inexpensive key issue comparatively. So I think it's a great investment book right now because there's no hype behind it. They're not talking about making a movie with Hulk and the Leader. It's just a book to sit on. It's got Ditko art and it's his most iconic villain. So I really don't see how you can go wrong buying this book early before, you know, the movies get to it and it just jumps in value. It's an older book. I think it's a sleeper book, so I definitely recommend that if you like the Hulk. I think it's a good key issue. After that, I got the Preacher this year. As iconic as that cover is, I wasn't really drawn to it, but I knew it would be up my alley and I saw it for a steal of a price. So I figure, why not just get it? Worst case scenario, I could sell it, right? After reading the actual story, the first 12 issues, there's no fucking way that's leaving my collection. No. So I am so glad that I picked that up when I did. I was a little skeptical at first, but not anymore. I've been all with it. I'm all there. Some other books I got 3 more. So I only got 5 big comic books this year. I was averaging like maybe once every other month. I did get Uncanny X-Men 129. So that's a double first appearance. So I thought that would be a good value this year. First appearance of Kitty Pryde. First appearance of Emma Frost. We were reading X-Men this year, so that kind of inspired me to get that book. And I didn't have too many X-Men keys before this year, so I decided to reach out and try to grab all of those guys, because a lot of those first appearances are newer than characters like Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, stuff like that. There are some pretty iconic X-Men issues that the ship's already sailed. They're very expensive, but that wasn't one of them. And it's going up in price pretty consistently. So I could have bought it a few years back and probably it would have been a better investment. But I figured I'd get it before the ship completely sails. My last 2 books this year, I got the first Silver Age appearance of the Riddler. With the new Batman movie coming out and him supposedly either being the main villain or one of the main villains featured, I thought that would be a great book to have. Although it's not his first overall appearance, those are pretty untouchable. And so I did reach for the first Silver Age appearance. It's a bright pink cover, so I tried to get it in a higher grade because I'm sure it's kind of hard to find nice copies of like a bright pink book. So I was pretty excited about that one, and you can't go wrong with any of the Batman villains. Last but not least, a book that I've wanted to collect since the first day I started collecting comic books, and that's Amazing Spider-Man issue 129. Ooh. The floor has always been high on this book. I never wanted to buy in on a very low grade copy. I decided to, you know, save my money for it, wait till my finances were right, and get at least a mid-grade copy of this book, because I don't see it going anywhere other than up. Wolverine was a comic book that I saw when I first started collecting, and it was like $500 for a raw copy. Now it's like $3,000 for a raw copy. I kind of see the same effect happening with the Punisher. Now, granted, Wolverine's more iconic than the Punisher. Definitely has more legs than the Punisher, probably a little older, but the Punisher is not a book that's going to go anywhere anytime soon, but maintain or increase in value, especially because it's a Spider-Man book, especially because of the cover art on it. And so that was the first thing I decided to target this year, and definitely the key issue that I'm most proud of. So I don't know what order you want to work in, Burger, but maybe you could tell me about some of the keys that you picked up this year.
Yo, that's a spicy ass list. But yeah, I'm going to hop into mine. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to follow suit. I'm going to go from, you know, 5 through 1. I had a lot of pickups this year, to be quite honest. I don't know how and when it happened. I think it was really early on in the year, since it's been a few months since I bought a book, except for a couple days ago. But you know what? I'll start at 5, work my way up. So at 5, as I just mentioned, a couple days ago, I just bought a new book. I had a few things go on this year, some big life changes. Didn't think I'd be able to start affording books right away. Not saying I necessarily can, but it's not hurting me too much. But came across an antique store the other day, knew there's a really good comic seller in there for no good reason, but he's just set up shop in the middle of it. Found myself a Batman 181, the first appearance of Poison Ivy, just chilling in the wild. Now, it wasn't like, whoa, steal of the day. Like, you know, I found it for $50 or nothing, like, you know, like a fever dream. But I did find one nice raw copy. Says, oh, I mean, you know, it's got its faults, but the pinup's inside, it's attached. And really, that's all you can ask for on a book like this anymore. It keeps going up and up. Her involvement in the Harley Quinn TV show. I mean, she's a female villain. It is her first true appearance, unlike a lot of the Batman villains during the Silver Age, where they were Silver Age first appearances. This is a first true appearance. I think the book has a lot of legs, and it is just a really cool book to have. It's been eons since I've bought a Batman book. So it's really exciting to find that. And I got it for a pretty good deal, all things considered. Number 4. Captain Marvel Adventures 26. So to those of you who may not know, that is the first full appearance of Mr. Mind, the little alien worm, one of the biggest foes of Captain Marvel, also known as Shazam, who I'm sure you all know by now is my favorite character of all time. So I was more than geeked to find a copy of this book months and months ago. If you look now on eBay, there might only be a handful of copies, and I saw one for like $1,500. I didn't pay anywhere near that. I'd argue about a fifth of that. So I felt pretty good buying this book at the time. I think it's also got legs because obviously we saw his cameo in the Shazam 1 movie. So I'm sure if there's a sequel, we'll see something with Mr. Mind. But granted, this isn't a spec book. I mean, unless I'm upgrading, this isn't leaving the collection. It's one of my favorite books in the collection, period. So yeah, I was really geeked to get that this year. We'll go to number 3. House of Secrets 92. First appearance
Damn.
Of Swamp. Yeah, thanks, boy. It's a first appearance of Swamp Thing, Alec Holland. I mean, this is before they kind of established his backstory and stuff like that. It was kind of more of a one-off type thing before they continued it with Swamp Thing issue 1 with Len Wein and Bernie Wrightson. And, you know, they kind of fleshed him out. But this is where Alex Holland is prior to being Alec Holland. Really cool character. You kind of showed me the ways of Swamp Thing. I wasn't very too familiar. You'd mentioned him from like early on in your collecting career. You always have had a nice copy, and I was always envious of it. I used to have a copy back in the day, but I think it was missing half of the first page, and that grinds my gears. So I finally flipped it, got a new one. The deal presented itself to me. I mean, most of these things, like in, you know, mid-decent grade, rate are like $500-$600 low end. Once again, I somehow snuck out a deal and didn't pay anywhere near that. I'm thankful, but it feels really good to have such a cool book in my collection again, because even when I sold my like 0.5 copy, it felt like my collection was feeling a little bare. So I was really geeked to get that. So my last two, I mean, Swamp Thing's up there. I mean, all of my top five are really up there for me this year, but these might be my favorite two pickups, obviously. Number two, Justice League of America issue one. Once again, didn't plan on getting this, but it found its way to me. So I'm assuming the big guy upstairs is looking out because he just popped it on eBay and I says, I'll take it. So
that's how it works.
Yeah, dude. It was the first book of the year, to be quite honest. I bought it like 2 weeks into January. Couldn't be more excited. I love a first appearance, but I'm so geeked to get a Silver Age number one. This actually kind of knocks off both because I believe it's also the first appearance of Despero. So, you know, I get a little bit of both. It's a great cover and I got it in a pretty solid grade. It's all attached, nice and firm. So couldn't be more geeked for that. And then my number one pickup of the year, and I would argue of all time.
Drum roll.
I can't even drum, bro. I don't even give a shit. Captain Marvel Adventures 18, the first appearance of Mary Marvel and the Marvel family. So this one, once again, like when we're getting into golden age, borderline grail, mega key type books, I don't have a budget for that. And I didn't expect to get one. Actually, on Mother's Day this year, I was half in the bag sitting around the dinner table and I was just scrolling through eBay and I saw somebody post it for right about my spending limit. And I just bought a book or two the week before. So I wasn't supposed to be buying shit. But I says, I'll send you a best offer for $5 over your starting, your asking price. And for some reason, they took it. And I had like my heart sank because God, that's a lot of money. But also, goddamn, bro, I finally got a Mary Marvel. So I'm not getting a first appearance of Shazam or Wiz Comics 2 anytime soon, but I'm very excited to have gotten, Mary Marvel, one of my other favorite characters of all time. So yeah, I mean, it's not only the biggest book I got this year, I'd argue it's the biggest book in my collection and by a decent amount. It's not in the best grade by any means. It is pretty much hanging on with one staple. The whole bottom portion of it, there's a little bit of like water damage or what have you. They shipped it piss poor. Like they literally wrapped it in like newspaper and like they didn't seal the bag and they just sent it to me and I was angry, but it's very firm at the top staple. I don't know who stapled it, like if they did that after the fact or if that was like the printing company, but it is the strongest staple of all time, bro. Like it's on steroids because the bottom staple is nowhere to be found, bro, for the front or back, but the top is hanging on so strong, like it could kick my ass. But that's my top five this year. You know, I have other books too, but a lot of them happen to be gifts, which I was very thankful to have such good friends and family get me some gifts. I know you happen to get some as well. You want to go through your list of gifts you received this year in the comic game?
Yeah. Yeah. And congrats on your Mary Marvel, by the way. That's only like your biggest book this year, but probably the coolest book in your collection. Definitely cooler than any book in my collection. Finding it for that kind of a deal is ridiculous.
Whoa, chill out, bro, on that one.
However, I got some pretty cool gifts this year. So I'll do it the same way I did last time. So to start, Avengers Annual 10. I think this is a great first key issue for any collector. It's, you know, you can find it for $30-$40 still, not in great condition, but you can find it for like a reasonable price. And it's the first appearance of Rogue. So not only is it an Avengers book, but Rogue's a pretty big character in the cinematic universe. She's pretty iconic to the X-Men. So I don't know why this book isn't worth more than it is. Probably the print run, that would be my best guess. But regardless, it's a book to have, regardless if you're like collecting really big key issues or you're just starting off. Another book in that caliber, also another X-Men book, Uncanny X-Men 221. Berger was nice enough to get me a very sharp copy of that book. Again, another affordable key. Having a high grade is pretty sweet because there's so much more that X-Men can do with Mr. Sinister that they haven't already. And I look forward to, you know, what they do with that character, not only in the cinematic universe, but in the run of X-Men that we're reading now. Last but not least, by any means, Showcase 34. So Berger and I always do the comic swap Christmas in July. And this year I got the first appearance of the Atom, the Ray Palmer Adam, the only Adam to fucking matter. And although they haven't done that character justice in that whole Arrowverse crap, super cool cover. I couldn't be more grateful. Very sci-fi like and right up my alley as far as what I like to collect. So I thought it was a very thoughtful gift, and I appreciate it. It was a good year for collecting.
Hell yeah, bro. I'm glad you dig. I feel you on that, though. I've been very fortunate to have some, like I said, good friends and family get me some books for the box. I'm going to do the same order you did as well. Granted, it's hard to put any of these in an order, but I got an X-Factor 6 this year. Shouts out my homeboy, Glenn. I don't know if he'll hear this or not. But you know what? First N. Sabaneur, aka Apocalypse Boy, which, you know, pretty spicy book. Not, it hasn't always been the most elusive or the most expensive. It was around that shitty movie that came out that no one gives a damn about, but it's a cool book nonetheless. I'm really glad that he did get one for me. I had one in my collection a long time ago. It had been flipped ages ago, and he finally got me a new one, especially with all the hype of reading X-Men this year, and especially his being a focal point of the book, especially in the most recent issues. It's really cool to have his first appearance again and finally be able to, you know, have a couple X-Men books, because I've been flat out pretty much the past few years. We'll go with Exciting Comics number 50. So this is something that Jazz got me as kind of a surprise gift. I had gotten her a gift just out of the kindness of my heart, and I guess she can't just accept that. So she went and returned the favor and got me one of my first non-Shazam Golden Age books. So Exciting Comics 50, there's not a ton of significance to it per se. Obviously sentimental value to me, but it's really just a cool cover. It's my first book with Black Terror on it, who was published back in the 40s, 50s. Kind of a public domain character now. I think he has some runs at Dynamite or, you know, what have you. No one really cares, but he's a cool character. He kind of looks like a Golden Age Punisher. He's pretty badass. He's got a lot of really cool wartime covers, Schomburg covers. I know those are really hot, but it's just a cool book to have. It's a really cool cover. He's beating up some thugs on it. We'll go with Uncanny X-Men 266. So Joe also happened to get me one of these. If you don't know, it's a first Gambit, which also, like I said, didn't really have any X-Men books, and it's cool to have a Gambit. He's one of the cooler characters. I mean, growing up watching the X-Men TV show, like the animated show, he definitely had a role in that. I really like, you know, how he's kind of like that raging Cajun type thing. I really like Louisiana and the idea of it. I'd like to take a visit myself. Not slept on. Everybody loves Gambit, but I think that there's more that they could do with the character, and he's really cool. So I really appreciate getting that book. It's really nice grade too. And then from there, I have Wiz Comics 49. So Jazz got me this for my birthday as well. This is just a really cool old Captain Marvel cover. By Captain Marvel, I mean Shazam, where he's pretty much sitting on a Nazi singing like a victory song, playing the piano, which is really cool. It's an earlier Golden Age book. This year was really big for my Golden Age collection, which I was really excited about. So I'm really excited that she got me that. And then last but not least, my biggest gift that I received this year, I'd argue, Amazing Spider-Man 41. So that is the first appearance of the Rhino. I have a lot of Spider-Man books, but this is one that I never managed to pick up. And Joe knew exactly what I needed and what I was looking for without me even looking for it. So he got it for me on our Christmas in July. He got an Adam. I got a Rhino. I'd say it was a job well done. It came in a nice grade. It was slabbed. I cracked it. It looks even more beautiful in the new Mylar. And it's another big contribution to my Spider-Man collection, which I really appreciate.
Thank you. We have a lot to be grateful for this year. You know, it might have not been a great year overall. Definitely wasn't a great year for a lot of people, but we do have a lot to be grateful for. And we're going to keep continuing to do this, and also grateful for all the friends, family, and strangers listening. So I really appreciate that. I wish I had more movie TV news to tie into, but there wasn't really anything to come out other than season 2 of The Boys. Next episode, we will be reviewing the Wonder Woman movie, one of the only comic book movies to come out this whole entire year. Yes, so, you know, another week of non-trade reviews, but I think this one's going to be really fun. And although there isn't a lot of good runs in her comic book series necessarily, I think they did a great job with the first movie. So I'm excited to see what they do with the second movie. Even though the overall production for DC movies hasn't been great, they didn't manage to miss with the first one. So tune in next time, and we will, you know, we will tell you what we think of the new Wonder Woman movie.
For sure. And just, you know, wrap things up. Just make sure you do check us out on Instagram. Instagram at CBJPod. That's where we post most of our information. We do have usually daily posts. Leave a comment, you know, ask us a question, do what you will. We do also have a Facebook at Comic Book Junkies, which is also at CBJ Podcast. You can come and like us there. You can also see some of our posts, ask us questions, stuff like that. Make sure if you are on Apple, you know, anywhere you can, leave a review, leave 5 stars. If you enjoy us, tell a friend, tell your comic book store, tell anybody pretty much if you do like us and enjoy us to give us a listen, and hopefully they'll enjoy us too. And other than that, we really appreciate you guys, and we'll catch you next time.